was thinking about if I've actually ever preached up here on a Sunday morning. And I don't know that I have. In all my years of being here, this might be the first time I've preached up here on a Sunday morning. But it's such a privilege to be able to be here with you, to share with you a little bit what God is doing in us and also what I feel like he's called us as a church as a whole to do. A brief update on our life for you so you sort of know where we are and where we're going and what we're in the midst of. It's been a few crazy weeks for us. Everything has come together only as God can do. And so the details, all of the fine details, I'll get into that a little bit in my sermon, but they've all come together in such a way that we've booked tickets and we're leaving on Thursday. And we only booked tickets really 3 weeks ago, I think it was. And so it was all really very quickly. But such a testament to the faithfulness of God when we step out in faith. And so we're in the midst of packing up, getting all the last details together, doing everything we need to do, saying our goodbyes with excitement of what God has for us as we move forward. So we fly out on Thursday. Our kids, they start school in April, and then work and ministry opportunities really start in the summer for us, in July, which is an incredible privilege. Because some people say, well, then why don't you just wait till July to go and spend more time with family and friends here? But it gives us the opportunity to settle our kids in school, gives us the opportunity for us to settle our family, get our home set up, and really spend a couple months just seeking after God. You know, okay, we know what you've called us here to do, but now we trust for you to open the doors. And so that's what we're in the midst of. We need prayer. We need a lot of prayer. But the goodness of God has just been so tangible in our lives. And so what a testament that is. So we're excited. We truly are excited. And so as Pastor Ralph asked me to share this morning, I know we've been going through the journey to Easter and sort of getting prepared for that. And I said, okay, so what's the scripture that lines up for that Sunday? And I don't think it's by chance, because our God doesn't work by chance, but it's the story of Peter walking on water, stepping out in faith. And so I've titled my sermon today, Lessons from Walking on Water, because I think there's a lot that we can learn from this story that we can put into practice in our own lives. But before we get into it, let's read it together. We're reading from Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this story that we can learn from, that we can grow from, and that we can challenge our faith with. And so as we look at it this morning, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Not only speak to our hearts, challenge us this morning. about what you are calling us to, and may we be obedient in listening. In your name we pray. Amen. So as I looked at this story, a good preacher, usually, you know, 3 points is what they tell us. Bible college, they say, come up with 3 points. That's about the right amount. No matter how I looked at this story, I couldn't do it. So I have 4 for you this morning. It's an even number. I like odd numbers, but I couldn't do it. But as I look at this story and really, you know, as asking God, what can we take from it today? And the first thing that I noticed and that he spoke to me about was that really Jesus' invitation and Peter's response or our response in this story is so simple. It's so simple. So the disciples are in the boat. They're in the midst of a bit of a storm and waves and wind. And as they're in the midst of this, probably feeling a little bit seasick and gross and probably a little bit worried about what's going to happen, they see something coming in the distance. And they think, oh, it's a ghost? Like, is it a ghost? And so they're a little bit nervous about who or what is. And then Peter, I don't know why he thinks of this, but he says, you know, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come. And what did Jesus say? Come. He simply said, come. For really the intensity of the situation in the midst of the storm and really what he was asking Peter to do, walk on water, it's remarkably simple. Come. He didn't paint the whole picture for Peter. He didn't try to explain anything. He didn't say, okay, Peter, you're going to be walking on water. You can't do this. But here's some techniques. Let me give you some techniques. You know, flat-footed is better than heel first. Don't put your toes first. You'll go right in. Let me share my experience with you. He didn't explain anything. He simply said, come. As believers, as followers of Jesus, that's exactly what he says to us. He invites us to step out of our boat. And he says, come. He doesn't always tell us what it's going to be or how it's going to look or how we're going to make it through when it seems absolutely ridiculous. He says, come. And so that's simple. So that's a little bit crazy when I think about it. But then when we look at what Peter does from a human perspective, he just gets out of the boat. As soon as Jesus said, come, the next sentence, the next line, Peter gets out of the boat. It's like he didn't even really think about it. Okay, Jesus, he's asked me to come, so I will go. If it was me, I probably would have been going through plan A, B, C, and D. Where's the life raft? Where's the boy? Jesus, are you close enough that I can just grab onto you as soon as I step out? I work through all the scenarios in my head to make sure I can keep myself safe. And then if everything makes sense, if everything seems okay, like there's a way out, okay, then I will step out and follow. But I need to make sure it's okay myself. I trust in my own plans. I don't trust in God's plans. So Peter gives us an incredible example here of what we can learn from. It didn't matter what the outside experience or situation was. It didn't matter what the wind and the waves were doing. Peter knew that Jesus said, come. So he stepped out. And what happened when he stepped out? That's when the miracle began. It wasn't before. God or Jesus didn't say, you know, I'll make you walk on water. He didn't come for him. No, it was when he stepped out in faith that the miracle began to happen. First, we got to put aside our fears. Got to put our trust in Jesus. And as we respond, we see incredible things happen. So that's the first thing. It truly, for the weight of the situation, it truly is so simple. For us, it's the same. Come. Step out. The second thought or lesson that I had from it is that, you know, Jesus invites us into the storm. He invited Peter into the middle of the storm. Usually when I'm reading this story, I sort of forget about everything that's going on. I sort of picture this calm conversation that's happening between Peter and Jesus. Peter says, oh, Jesus, if it's you, ask me to come out. And then Jesus is like, okay, come. And then, if you know Chariots of Fire, we get the good music, and you know, Peter, as he's lifting his foot, he's like, da-da-da-da-da. Da, 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 da. There's glorious light behind him. It's a beautiful picture. And usually it's pretty serene in my head. I think that has nothing to do with what it was like. It was windy. The waves were buffeting the boat. So part of me questions, how did Peter and Jesus actually hear each other? If you've ever been on BC ferries going across and it's windy outside and you're trying to walk on the deck, you can't hear each other talking. You're yelling at each other. And so I sort of picture Peter saying that and Jesus is like, come. And Peter's like, what did you say, Jesus? Some? You need some? What? Come? No, come. But he didn't calm the storm before he invited Peter out. He invited him right into the middle of it all. He didn't promise for everything to smooth out as soon as he stepped out. And as I look at my own life, and I think we can all evaluate from our own lives, that Jesus rarely calms the storms before he asks us to step out in faith. Usually it's in the middle of the craziness and insanity of it all that he says, okay, now let's make it even crazier. Step out. But it was in the middle of the storm, as we get to the end of the story, it's in the middle of it all that the disciples again realized who Jesus was. He is the Son of God. It was Jesus, his power in the storm, seeing Peter walk on water, Jesus calming the storm, that made the light switch go on again for them, that said, you are the Son of God. So what if it takes our life storms? What if it's in the middle of the storms in our own lives that we truly come to an understanding of who Jesus is? If you're anything like me, I try to avoid the wind and the waves. Usually, if we had it, I'd put on like God TV with the forecast of my life. Okay, let's plan it out. Okay, Tuesday between 10 o'clock and 10:15, everything looks peaceful and calm. That is the best time for me to take a step of faith because nothing else is going on. That's what I would do. But maybe in trying to avoid the ups and the downs, the waves, the wind, the hurricanes of life, we're missing a truly transformative experience with God. Maybe we're missing the miracles that he has for us. Because if Peter had decided to just not even deal with it and just stay hunkered in the boat, he would have never walked on water. And so maybe we need to learn to embrace the storms. What if we stop being so afraid of them and saying, God, fix this, I can't deal with it. And we said, God, thank you. Now help me get through it. But I think we come to such a greater understanding of who he is. And as we change our perspective, it actually gives us a greater faith to step out and follow him. So as he says, come, I think the simplicity is the key. As he says, come, you gotta go right away, because it's usually in a storm. And when we start to think about it too much, we deter ourselves away. So we got to stop waiting for life to calm down. Has your life ever calmed down? Let's be honest. When you're sleeping, yeah. But we're not doing much when we're sleeping. So we got to stop waiting and making excuses. And we got to step out into the storm, because that's what he's inviting us into. Because that leads to the next point. As we step into the storm, we are again reminded that Jesus takes care of us through it all. Here's the thing. When Jesus called Peter onto the water, there was no path. There were no footsteps. There can't be footsteps on water. Peter didn't necessarily know where he was going, except that he was following the voice of God. As we follow the voice of God, we don't always know where it will end, where it will take us, what he has for us. But what we do know is that in the midst of it all, he will take care of us. And we see that. As Peter steps out on the water, his eyes, he's locked in with Jesus, he's listening to him, he's following him, and he steps out. He walks on water. And you know, as we keep our eyes and our focus on Jesus, it doesn't matter what's going on around us, he keeps us going. But we see what happens when we start to get distracted. Oh, it sounds a little windy over here. What's going on over there? As Peter gets distracted and starts to take his focus and his eyes off of Jesus, he starts to sink. He starts to go under. As we take our eyes off of Jesus, as he calls us and we start to go, oh, but what about this path? This looks a little bit more fun and easy than what you're asking me to do, Jesus. We start to get buffeted by the winds and the waves of life, and it gets a little bit more difficult. Maybe we start to sink. We get sucked into the temptations of life, overwhelmed by what's going on, overwhelmed by what's on our plate. We forget who's in control. Uncertainty and doubt, fear, anxiety. We say, what are we doing? Why did I even agree to step out of my boat? This is like, what am I? I'm turning back. But as we focus on Jesus, all of that fades away. I think most of us in here would be familiar with a very, very old, beautiful song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And it is so true. But you know what? The great thing about this story, and really the whole Bible, is we see people who continually mess up. Because I'm a human and I mess up all the time. And so we see Peter. He looks away. He gets worried about what's going on and he starts to sink. But even in the midst of doubt, Jesus is still there to rescue him, to pick him up and throw him back in the boat. And he'll say, "We'll try again." And the same goes for us. We can't beat ourselves up about it. When we get distracted or worried or say, "God, what am I doing?" or "What are you doing?" or "How can I make it through this?" When we start to doubt and we start to sink in the worries of life, Jesus is right there to pick us right up and say, "I got you. We'll try again. We'll try again." It's the story of the whole Bible. We'll try again. So if it's true here, it's true for me. The crazy part is the disciples just before this, they had just witnessed Jesus feeding the 5,000. Like, that's a pretty big miracle to happen. They had very little food and Jesus fed 5,000 people. So you would think their faith would be at whole new levels. And then Jesus, 20 verses later, says, "Oh, you have little faith." So if Peter can mess up, so can I. And he'll pick me right back up. But here's the thing. Our peace, it's not found in the absence of the storm. Doesn't matter what's going on. Peace isn't found in the absence of the storm. Our peace is found in the presence of Jesus. So as we keep our eyes on him, that's where we find our peace. Because there will always be a new storm coming. And the last is that really that worship in all of this needs to be our response. You know, it can be easy to focus this story on Peter and sort of the great things he does and what he doesn't do. But really, it's not even really a story about Peter. It's a story about the power of Jesus and how he works in and through us. And so our response in life as we walk through the ups and the downs and we step out of our boats and we see God faithfully work, it needs to be worship. He deserves our praise. It should be natural. I want to be taking big enough steps of faith that I can't do it. That when I see it happen, I say, "Wow, that was only God." It was about a year ago that we sort of started to feel this like stir in our hearts. Again, we were in the midst of, life was busy. There was some big stuff happening. We were pastoring a church. We were in the midst of moving the church. The old building had sold. We were just about to move into the new one and renovate. And there was a lot going on. And in the midst of all of this, we sensed Jesus saying, "Come." We say, we're not even finished. Like, come where? We knew it would be probably overseas again. We knew that it was going to be a step of faith. But we sensed him say, "Come." And so we said, "Okay." We didn't know where. We didn't know when. We didn't know what. We didn't know how. We didn't know anything. But we knew he said, "Come." So we said, "Okay." We stepped out of our boat and said, "God, we trust you." So we knew we had to finish the stuff with the church, and we did that. And we told our board, you know, come September, we're done. We don't have anything lined up. We're not like, we don't know, but we're done. We know that God is saying you're done. So we finished everything up, and September we found ourselves jobless and trusting God. But we knew he had said, come. And so as we walked this journey, it was like little bit by little bit by little bit that he revealed to us as we continued to step out. But then he said, okay, I want you to go to Hong Kong, the most expensive city in the world. We said, huh, okay. Like, again, we need miracles, God. We can't afford to live here. We can't afford to send our kids to school here. We don't have a job here. But we said, okay. So we stepped out, and over the next few months, really from November till now, it's been a story of God answering and answering and answering requests that we could have only dreamed of. From schooling for our kids so they can go to a bilingual school, which was our heart, so they could pick up language and learn the language that they spoke when they were younger. To dream jobs of things that really God's been culminating, working ourselves towards, of leading a university ministry and growing university ministry through the entire city. To connections with social justice and red light district and people who just need the love of Jesus. Connections and opportunities and doors that we could not open ourselves. And that would not have opened if we didn't say, okay. But it's been miracle upon miracle upon miracle. And the great thing about that, the great thing about the God that we serve, is it's not only for us. It's not only for select people. It's for anyone who hears the call and steps out. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a new city. Maybe it's a new friendship. It's not all international moves. I think Pastor Ralph would be a little bit upset if everyone said, okay, we're all going. But it's for each and every one of us. We just have to put that fear, that anxiety aside and say, okay, I'm coming. And so as we look at this story, and you know, as we see everything come together and just how amazing God works, all we can do is say, thank you, Jesus. Praise Jesus. But as soon as I try to be like, oh, well, I did that. Like, that was because of all of my hard work. I lose my faith again. And it makes it just as much harder to step out. But let me tell you, it's a continual practice. Because as we look at going Thursday, we are excited. But it's another step of faith. It's saying, okay, God, you've lined everything up like this, so I trust you to line up everything as we continue forward. So it's a continual reminder that he's got you. And so as we look at this story today, we'll invite the worship team up to just play a little bit of music. And I have a question I want to leave with you, but as we reflect and look at it, I want you to remember these things. Jesus' invitation is so simple. Come. It's for each and every one of us. Come. And may our response be just as simple. As he says, come, step out. Right away. And know that often he invites us right into the middle of the storm. Right in the middle. So don't wait for life to calm down. Just do it. Just go. because he will take care of us through it all. Absolutely will. And as we see him take care of us, may we respond with worship. May we not make it about ourselves, but may we make it about him and what he has done. And so I leave that question for you today. Are you willing to step out? Are you willing? I believe that there are some people here that, as I've spoken, God's sort of been nudging, been turning, maybe been fighting. No. Just plug my ears. But he's been saying, come. And maybe you've been putting it off for a long, long time because life just has never calmed down. But he's saying, come. And so I do want to give an opportunity to respond because, like I said, it needs to be immediate. It's when he says come, that's usually when we have the most gumption to step out. And so we'll get the worship team to come and just play. And if you want prayer, if you need prayer, if you just want to come and listen and spend time at the altar, I invite you to respond to what he is asking you to do. I invite you to respond to his come.